This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Moving on to our next story. Suhakam's year-long investigation into the disappearances of two activists that happened more than 3 years ago reached its conclusion today. So the commission concluded that the police and special branch are likely responsible for the enforced disappearance of Pastor Raymond Koh and Amri Chemat, founder of Perlis Hope.
So this inquiry was established last year to determine if Koh, Amri and two others, Pastor Joshua Hilmi and his wife Ruth, were victims of enforced disappearance. International human rights law defines that as when a person is secretly abducted or imprisoned by a state or political organization or by a third party with the authorization support of a state or political organization. Now, Suhakam Commissioner Datuk Mah Wing Kwai said there is direct and circumstantial evidence which proves on balance of probabilities that he was abducted by state agents by Special Branch Bukit Aman.
So, of course, despite the fact that the report has been launched, there are still a lot of questions. It's not as if everything's been answered. It's not as if people are home. So we don't know whether both of the activists are still alive. For families, there's still no closure. The IGP, Fuzi Harun, commented today saying that he will only respond once he's actually viewed the findings, which, by the way, takes the form of like a 100-page report, right?
Well, in total, it'll be above 200 because it's two separate reports.
Yeah, so there you go. So might be a while.
Yeah. And actually, Fuzi was then the special branch chief when Pastor Koh was abducted. Human rights NGO Swaram has called for the IGP to resign. He is, however, due for mandatory retirement next month after 35 years in the force. Swaram also wants both him and former IGP Khalid Abubakar to be investigated.
So earlier, as we heard in Pofit Pofit Parliament, the former Home Minister Datuk Zahid Hamidi said he did not issue any directive or order for the abductions. And from our current Home Minister, Muhyiddin Yassin, we haven't heard a response yet.
Now, later on the show, we'll be speaking with Suhakam Commissioner Ma Wing Kwai about those findings. But first up, we have Latifa Koya from Lawyers for Liberty to help us go through the basics. Latifa, thanks so much for joining us on the show. Enforced disappearances is a crime of human rights that has happened in other countries as well. Syria, Sri Lanka, Argentina, some of them. Were these disappearances ever resolved in other countries?
Well, I can't for a fact say that it has been resolved. In fact, I don't think any of these enforced disappearances have been ever resolved effectively. In other countries like Sri Lanka or Argentina or even Syria, we're talking about tens of thousands. So in a comparative way, what we have in Malaysia is probably not seen in an extreme fashion. But none of it has been resolved. But I think there are ongoing investigations and ongoing inquiries happening involving the UN bodies and international bodies to look into it.
So on that note about looking into it, talk to us a bit more about who would be in charge of investigations, given that the nature of enforced disappearances would mean that the crime involves the state or a political organisation.
So in the context of, say, for example, Sri Lanka or Argentina or Syria, because the state is an active, still a government in power, and it involves or fingers are pointing to them, then you would expect international bodies to come on board to look into it. So it becomes an international issue. But in the case of Malaysia, for example, again, of course, it involves a state agency. Like in the current case that we would be discussing, it would be the police. Fingers have already pointed to the police. But there is a certain uniqueness about the situation because this investigation was conducted by the Human Rights Commission, National Human Rights Commission, which is independent of the police. And there is a change of government while this investigation was going on. So whether the new government would take steps to look into what was found by the Suhakam, and what are they going to do about it? So they could now, based on the full-blown inquiries that was held by Suhakam, they could now open up a criminal investigation, which must be independent of the police, and then which would lead to actual prosecution.
Now, there's the International Convention for the Protection of All Persons from Enforced Disappearances. We haven't signed or ratified this convention, but do we have any laws pertaining to enforced disappearances?
Of course. I mean, regardless of whether we have signed the International Convention of Protection of All Persons for enforced disappearance, we definitely have laws that will not allow a police or a state agency to simply arrest someone and either kill them or kidnap them and without any accountability. And that's what has happened. That would be a clear abuse of power. And that is criminal, regardless whether the actual player or the perpetrator is a police or a private individual. The laws are the same. So you can't have extra judicial actions done on Che Amri or past the call. So it is quite clear that you don't have to wait for a convention to be signed, because there are enough laws under the penal code to carry out a prosecution on these perpetrators.
So one of the concerns that always comes to mind is the safety and welfare of the victims' families. Are they given any protection at the moment?
Well, frankly speaking, I haven't heard any official acknowledgement of what has happened to the families, official in the sense that by the government. What we hear is more of denial of what has happened to both Pastor Kaur and Amri. So when there is a lack of official acknowledgement that this is serious, and acknowledgement of the finding of the Suhakam report, immediately then it should come together with protection to the family of the victims. So we have yet to hear an official response. What I think we have heard is a denial by the former Home Ministry, which is Zahid Hamidi. So we will wait and see what the Home Minister, the current Home Minister, have got to say, and whether he's going to take this finding seriously and take action. It cannot be just a report that will gather dust. This is very serious.
Latifa, thank you so much for speaking with us. You just heard from Latifa Koya from Lawyers for Liberty, laying out, I guess, the groundwork for what we're talking about when we discuss enforced disappearance. Next up, we're going to be speaking with Datuk Ma Wing Kwai, who's the Commissioner of Suhakam, to talk about the process, I guess, of instigating the inquiry, what happened. And that will be coming your way after this. So keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Banish fraudulent manoeuvres, BFM 89.9.
You are listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn and Kelvin, and we're talking about the report that was released by Suhakam today, which concluded the year-long inquiry into the disappearance of two activists. And the conclusion seemed to be that there was involvement from Special Branch.
Yep, specifically Bukit Aman and the police. And I guess this chilling report, it's just leaving a very sour taste in our mouths. So we have on the line Datuk Ma Wing Kwai, Commissioner of Suhakam. Datuk, thanks so much for joining us. Could you give us an insight into how you came to this conclusion that the police are likely very responsible for the enforced disappearances?
Right. We dealt with two cases, as you know. One is the disappearance case of Amri Chipmat, and the other of Pastor Raymond Koh. And we dealt firstly with Amri Chipmat. Now, in that case, the main evidence and the direct evidence is that of the Sergeant Shamsani. He himself is a special branch officer from Kanga Police. And he had informed the wife of Amri one evening in May last year that it was the special branch that was responsible. Special branch, Bukit Aman, Kuala Lumpur. Yeah, not the special branch in Kanga. Mm-hmm. So it was information coming from an insider.
And how cooperative were the police during the inquiry?
Well, throughout the inquiry, in both Amri's case as well as in Pastor Raymond Koh's case, the police had been present. They were invited to be observers throughout, much like the we had lawyers from the family, officers from Suhakam, we had lawyers from Bar Council, and so we had these officers from police. They themselves were not terribly cooperative, but I think the importance of the cooperation would have been from the police witnesses, not so much the officers who were conducting the case, if you are with me on this. Yeah, so it is the officers that were giving evidence. Like in Amri's case, we had the investigating officer, who was a very junior officer, and most of the answers he gave was either I can't remember or I can't tell you, that kind of thing. So information was not free-flowing. The other, of course, is that in Pastor Rimenko's case, in the statement of Sergeant Somzani, he not only said it was Special Branch Kuala Lumpur, Bukit Aman, that was responsible. He said it was the same team that was responsible also in the disappearance of Pastor Rimenko.
And did the previous administration play any role in the enforced disappearances? Former Home Minister Zahid Hamidi has come out to say that he didn't make any directives or orders for this.
We are very surprised because we made no mention of anyone from the ministry. Most certainly we did not mention about Zahid. But, well, the police is under Ministry of Home Affairs, and this was under the watch of IGP Khalid at that time. And in our report, if you read our report, our decision, in Amri Chetmat's case as well as in Pastor Rimenko's case, we have actually set out all the facts that led up to the disappearances and the parties responsible.
So, to be specific, this inquiry only looks at the disappearance of Pastor Kor and Amri, but Joshua Hilmi and his wife disappeared a week after that. Are you looking into these disappearances as well, and what information do you have?
Well, when Suwakam decided to conduct the inquiry, we were going to look into the three cases, Joshua Hilmi and his wife Ruth as well. Now, it's just that when we started, I suppose we were all being very ambitious. We simply ran out of time. We didn't have enough time to do the third case. Already, we didn't have any time to even start with the case. So we have not gone into the hearings. We have not heard any evidence at all. And then, as you may know, our term of appointment as commissioners, our term comes to an end by, I think it's 23rd of April, 23rd of this month. So we will have to leave it to the new commissioners to attend to this.
Right, and moving forward, how should the government respond to these findings?
Well, in our list of recommendations at the end of our decision, we had recommended a special task force, a new special task force be appointed to recommence and reinvestigate the cases. The other, we are hoping that this will be a stimulus for the appointment of the IPCMC, and also that hopefully Malaysia will ratify the international conventions, in particular the ICPPED, and that's the Convention on Enforced Disappearance, as well as to make it an offence under our local law for an offence like this, for enforced disappearance.
Datuk, thank you so much for sharing your thoughts with us. That was Datuk Ma Wing Kwai, Commissioner of Suhakam, discussing the report that was released today regarding the disappearance of two activists. And I think earlier, Calvin, you used the word chilling, and that is how it feels. I mean, the hope would be that when you've concluded a year-long inquiry, you would have a sense of closure.
Yeah.
But this one is just, it's a sense of disquiet, I think, more than anything else.
And I guess also for it to happen in this day and age, to know that the
government... In our country,
to know that the government can just make people disappear, it's unnerving.
It is. If you have any thoughts, you can send them through. WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio. And just very quickly, after the 7:30 news today, we are going to be headed into Skip Intro, which is the show where we talk about all things movies, TV, just the things you watch. And we're talking about Free Solo, which is the climbing documentary of Alex Honnold. And like I said earlier, if you have a fear of heights, then join me in saying never to this movie. But if not, tune in and listen to the guys discuss it. That will be coming your way. And just to close off, we did talk earlier about a mysterious durian called the Capri.
Yeah.
And Durian Lover has written back to say this.
Capri durian can be found in Penang Cecil Market. Won't disclose the stall name yet, otherwise I won't be able to afford it anymore, like the Musang King. It is named after the liquor Capri.
So there you go. Exclusivity is the name of the game when it comes to our durians. Thank you everybody for sending in those messages. It's been a fun show today. Up next, we've got New Order with Dreams Never End, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.